Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you last week? Oh, last week we started off shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and the relationship conversation was signs you're in a rare relationship that can last a lifetime. Well, everybody wants to be married and married forever. But you got to go through some things. You got to be able to tolerate some things. You got to be able to do some things. Well, one of the things is, you know, you're in a rare relationship that can last forever if they can make you want to be a better person. This one here, this one came up a couple times during the week. And it can kind of get touchy for some people because, you know, some people think that people try to change them. But you need to be able to decipher whether they're trying to change you or make you a better person. And if the person is honestly trying to make you a better person, then you definitely know you're in a rare relationship that can last forever. What about you can have fun together doing absolutely nothing? Do you always have to be busy with your partner? Other than that, you're just bored out of your mind. Well, if you can, you know, sit around and just laugh, and even if there's no TV or radio, you can just talk and just time flies when you're having fun. Then you know you're in a rare relationship that can truly last. All right? You know, little signs like that. All right? So just make sure you pay attention. Pay attention to those signs. Okay? All right. Well, we had our switch with Shantice. And switch tip number 181. Don't let the others give you their truth. You know, when you study the Word of God, you really understand that God's truth will set you free. Well, you can't be set free if you are also finding everyone else's truth. No, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that, can't do that. Alrighty? Alright, so make sure you focus on God's word, only follow God's word, and only allow God's word to be the word and the truth that you follow, because his truth is going to be unjaded. It will be 100% truth. Okay? All right. All right. Well, let's talk about a Tuesday church folk day rolled around, and we got to talking about that Brooklyn preacher. Yep. Bishop Lamar Whitehead, who was found guilty of 5 counts after he's been to trial in federal court. And, yeah, he thought he was going to get away with stuff. Well, nope, they snagged him for, you know, taking that parishioner's money, $90,000. $90,000 he took from the lady, you know, telling her that he was going to get her a brand-new home and invest in his real estate business. He also tried to strong-arm a businessman to loan him $500,000. Well, he's going to have to face sentencing on July 1st. God spares his life. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and the ladies did a fantastic job relaying the types of women that men do not want to marry. And I really hope you were paying attention to this one. Do not want to marry. All right. What about Miss I Want to Change You? There we go. Yes, no man wants to be with a woman who's really trying to change him. If he needs changing and Jesus can't do it, then I don't know what to tell you. You need to leave him alone because he is not the man for you. What about the Miss I Live For You and I Have Nothing Else Going On? I love the way Shantice was saying, what we doing? Well, where we going? What we looking at? Oh, already, I'm not even trying to date her, and that wore me out. So, no, ladies, have a goal for your life. Have something that you are focusing on, because nobody wants someone who is going to drain them because they have nothing else to do. And lastly, I speak to my mother 5 times a day about everything. It's fine for you to talk to mom, but come on now. You can't tell mom everything, and you shouldn't tell mom everything, because you know what? When God, you know, smooths over everything and he gets you to see that you are a part of that problem too, then what, you're going to go back and tell mom? So keep some stuff to yourself, ladies. Keep some stuff to yourself. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolled around and we got to talking about this heartbroken widow who had her spouse's ashes made into crystal jewelry. Yes, you heard right. You heard right. You heard right. And now she might be wearing someone else around her neck. Oh, my goodness. A double whammy. A double whammy. So we hope that she recovers. But, you know, that's what happens when you make idols out of people. And God is not the first thing on your mind. Well, Friday, we got to talking Freestyle Friday. And we talked about those high schoolers in Oklahoma who had the viral fundraising video all over the internet. Yes, 50. Let me make sure I say this right, because I don't know if they were saying 50,000 or 50 million. I don't know, but either one is crazy. When the video was the 9th through 12th graders laying on their stomach, licking the peanut butter off of the other children's toes. Up 50 million views. Woo! Man, talk about going into a mind, a thought, a shivering weekend. Thinking about your child could have been the one over there licking the peanut butter off the toast. Oh, no. Yes, yes, yes. That's what's going down in the schoolhouse. Oh, my goodness. That's how we spent our week last week. Well, we got underway into a brand new week. Last night in the Word Prayer Project room, being a witness for Christ. Oh, fantastic prayer requests as always. You know, I have to tell you, the prayer requests really stimulate my prayer. Yeah. Just listening to the heartfelt requests of God's people to just get it right. Get it right. Do it all over and get it right. And that's how we got our week started. Yes. You know, I thought about this thing again. And I was like, you know, God gives this prayer project at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. Clearly an opportunity to get your week jump started. So you do not want to miss the Word Prayer Project when we're on Sunday nights. You know, I know you might be cleaning and straightening up and getting ready for your busy day, but what better way to get busy than to be on the prayer line with your prayer partners? Because if you do that, then there would be no reason that you need to shake the Monday morning blues. Yep, that's what's going on right now. God has spared our life through this weekend so we can shake the Monday morning blues. Already, it's the 18th of March. Where has the month gone? This is the fourth week of the month. Yeah, this is a long week. This is a long month. And we got 5 weeks in this month. And I tell you, time is waiting for no one. So this just kind of gives you an opportunity to see that you need to get yourself together. Yeah. Yes, yes, and yes again. Okay? Okay. Well, let's get this morning started. So go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere because we will be right back.
Something's not right.
My first symptoms were
constant tingling in my toes.
My legs, sometimes I'll go numb.
I had double vision.
They said you have multiple sclerosis.
Well, the beginning is the hardest time.
Kind of had to get a grasp on reality.
I had to adapt and change very rapidly.
I had to learn how to drive with my hands. Yeah, that was interesting. I was a dancer.
I don't see walking the way I walk any different than doing a dance. It just looks different. It's a different dance.
You see me have an off day, it doesn't take away from who I am.
A symptom may cause you not to be able to do that anymore. And at one point, I wasn't able to do any of those.
But I would exercise every day.
Since I've been cycling, it's definitely helped my walking.
To make a lot of changes in my life and just adapt to it.
I'm going to acknowledge its presence. I'm not going to discount it. But at the same time, I'm going to try my best to not let it stop me.
It's a fantastic opportunity to be working together with a common goal of carrying MS. And sharing is the key.
Again, welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Yeah, isn't it good to know that you don't have any blues to shake? So if you don't, put your time into helping someone else shake the blues. All right? All righty. Well, we have a few things to talk about this morning in our health little segment. So we jump start into the new week. Well, for those of you who eat Johnsonville kielbasa turkey sausages. Now, they did give us a specification on which packages to look for. They have best dates, either 5/17/24 or 5/18/24, okay, on the side of the package. And they will produce between October 30th and the 31st of 23. And it's the 12-ounce vacuum-packed package. And they are recalling those because they may possibly be contaminated with pieces of rubber. It amazes me how everything is recalled for negligent stuff. Customers have complained that they have found rubber in their food. Wow. So thank God the complaints have just been the rubber and there have been no injuries or anything like that. So please, again, Johnsonville kielbasa sausages are on the recall list, okay? Well, I got a piece of, shaky health tip this morning. There is a man who is 52 who visited the doctor. He normally has migraines, but these migraines were unusual. Now, I don't know what constitutes worse migraines or unusual migraines, but they had become worse, and his regular pills were not working any longer. Well, they did a CAT scan, and they found tapeworm larvae cysts in his brain, and it caused a condition called cysticercosis. Wow. Okay. Now, I want you to all pay attention to this one because this is bigger than the first piece. Okay, yeah, I know it doesn't sound, you know, like it makes a lot of sense, but there's a bigger issue here. Well, one of the things is it's known as pork tapeworm, and it can lead to cysts. This infection can lead to cysts developing in the brain. Now, someone with a tapeworm can infect themselves with tapeworm eggs, and they call that process autoinfection. Now, pay attention. It passes out of the body as waste and infect others in the same home. All right, now maybe some of you have caught this. Hint, hint. Okay, so the first issue is undercooked pork. Okay, can't give the person this cysticercosis, but the fact that there was improper hand washing. Remember, I just said it comes from your waste. Yes, your inside waste. So that meant that when he went to the bathroom, he didn't wash his hands properly. All right? So they say thank God the patient did respond to antiparasitic and anti-inflammatory medication and has made a full recovery. But that poor hand washing is a big thing. Okay. They say tapeworm larvae, either one, I've heard it pronounced both ways, they get into the tissues such as muscle and brain and form cysts. And when the cysts are found in the brain, that's big, needless to say. Oh, my gosh, needless to say. So please, everybody, pay attention to how you wash your hands. They say that the tapeworm eggs are spread through food, water, or surfaces contaminated with feces of a human with a tapeworm. All right, so make sure you wash your hands. I'm going to keep saying that. They say humans swallow the eggs when they eat contaminated food or put contaminated fingers in their mouth. Okay? Someone with a tapeworm can infect him or herself and other members of the family. So let's get this hand washing together. Believe it or not, even after COVID, there are still people who don't wash their hands or don't wash their hands properly. All right. We got one more piece of information for our health tip. Sinning too much. Wow. That's a thing. It's a thing. They say when you sit, you use less energy than when you stand or move around. I mean, that ain't no real big piece of information, but they say too much sitting overall and prolonged periods of sitting also seem to increase the risk of death from cardiovascular disease and cancer. Any extended sitting, such as at your desk, behind a wheel, or in front of a screen, can be harmful. Okay? Research has linked sitting for long periods of time with a number of health concerns. They include obesity and a cluster of conditions, increased blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess body fat around the waist, and unhealthy cholesterol levels. Okay? So, let's talk about some of the ways to walk while you work. For those of you who are sedentary when you work, they say take a break from sitting every 30 minutes. Stand while talking on the phone or watching television. If you work at a desk, try a standing desk, and we talked about that, or improvise with a high table or counter. Walk with your colleagues for meetings rather than sitting in a conference room. Now, I don't know how that's going to work. Position your work surface above a treadmill with a computer screen and keyboard on a stand or a specialized treadmill ready vertical desk so that you can be in motion throughout the day. Just get up and stretch your legs. Get up and stretch your legs. Doing that, they say you'll also burn calories. This might lead to weight loss and increased energy. And physical activity helps maintain muscle tone, your ability to move, and your mental well-being, especially as you age. Being home a lot and not being able to sit very long, you kind of, do some things that will help to get you moving. I go to the bathroom a lot, so that's one time I can get up and move around a little more. But I do drink a lot of water, so I constantly get up for water. You know, so even, you know, around the house, you can get a little more movement going on. And hopefully you won't give yourself more, you know, problems, more health problems. You know, everything is giving us health problems these days. So you definitely want to get yourself moving so you're not ill. Okay? All right. And make sure when you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands. Okay? All right. So what are we talking about today? I got some stuff that really makes you scratch your head. Really makes you scratch your head. You know, I keep saying, I'm saying more and more and more, these people are sick. These people are sick. Well, one of the lighter things that I have on this list, let me see, one of the lighter things I have on my list today, for those of you who are, you know, tired of packed airports, packed airplanes, the dogs on the plane sitting next to you don't have to be caged anymore, the people who are coughing, they're not covering their mouth, all that kind of stuff, the pilots going to sleep, not one but both. Well, they have a new airline offering private jet experience for what in the world is going on? Okay, I'm so sorry. My computer has a mind of its own. Well, there's a new airline offering private jet experience for what they call insanely low prices. But, of course, the major airlines are complaining. So there's this new airline company, JSX, which is based out of Dallas, and the owner said that he's listening to the complaints of the people who take, you know, airplanes, and he has his own private jet, and he's invested in some additional jets, and he's offering what they're calling a single seat ticket at affordable prices. Now, I don't know how affordable these prices are for me, but listen, might be a little interesting or affordable for you. He said he was listening to all of the rules that the companies also have, and he's been sleepless trying to think of what he could do to help. And the planes, the little charter planes, they don't have the same strenuous, as they call it, safety and security requirements as the passenger planes, and they have a lot less seats than the passenger planes, and they have a different, like, flight time schedule that they have, or the cities that they can go in are not the same. You know, they can't fly into the airports that, you know, we go to all the time. And although they have different requirements, he was trying to figure out how in the world could he help us. Okay? I'll say it like that. Well, He said that he is charging lower rates for normal charter prices, or lower than normal charter prices. So you won't find the prices low if you're comparing them to American Airlines or, you know, United or JetBlue, but they are much lower than if you were to charter a regular private plane. They do have, you know, food, and they do have, you know, the luxury of skipping the long lines, the luxury of the TSA, baggage screening, and you can't, you know, you can't go through without taking off your shoes. So he is dropping all of those particular security measures. And he's saying, you know, that extra time that you're spending in line could be extra time that you're spending where you're going. Now, the competitors are complaining. And it's weird because they're not complaining about normal stuff, in my opinion. But they're complaining that the security level is lowered. The standards are lowered, so now you're putting people in danger. And they think that he should have to, you know, kind of do the same thing that they're doing. Now, maybe they figure something's going to go up on, you know, going up in the air that's going to affect their plane. I don't know. But they say the terrorists have their eyes set on, you know, people who have lower expectation of, what do you call that, safety. So they're going to be prime picking. So they've been complaining, but you know, other people have said that, you know, listen, leave them alone. The size is better. The experience is better. And $1,500 is not that bad. Oh, my. Listen, I don't know about y'all. I'm not interested in flying with any level of less security. You know, it might be a little bit time consuming, but if it means that just that one extra gun doesn't get, you know, doesn't go by, that knife doesn't go by, that, you know, drinks, they also talked about bringing drinks on the plane. Well, if you're spending $1,500, are you really bringing your own drink on the plane? No, that's all right. I'll pass. I'll take, you know, even at $1,500, if that $1,500 was like $300 to me, I think I'd still rather go through all of the extra security steps than just getting on the plane with 8-9 other people and, you know, thinking that I'm safe. No, that's all right. You know, and some people may say, you know, what's the big deal for 8 or 9 people? You know, if somebody really wants to do some damage. Well, I don't know. You know, people do all kinds of things to get around, you know, getting what they want. Maybe 8 or 9 people is all they care about. But, you know, I don't know. But I don't know how many of you feel that way, but I'll pass. Now, let me give the other lighter. I don't have any more lighter except for this, lighter news. This is straight crazy. This is crazier than the $1,500 private jet. In California, oh, listen, let me tell you something. California and Massachusetts have the lightest rules. The craziest rules. I'm telling you, if you want a crazy law to be passed, send it through California and Massachusetts. Trust me when I tell you, they could care less about rules and regulations, and a lot of their rules and regulations do not make sense, including this one, where in California, the women's prisons are passing out condoms. Yes, hear me, hear ye, hear ye, hear me. The women's prisons in California are passing out condoms. They are color-coded, looking pretty. The women are in an uproar. So let me tell you why they are passing out condoms in the women's prisons in California. Well, first of all, there are only two in California that are all female. As of yesterday, and when I say yesterday, I don't mean the 17th of March. I mean yesterday. That is long gone. The first problem in this all-female prison is the fact that they are no longer all-female prisons. Those two prisons are no longer 100% women. There are trans women in the prison system there. Yes, they have opened up the doors to transgender inmates. And check this out. In California, and maybe some other states, they do not separate the women according to like maximum, medium, no. Like, you're not, like, all the hardened, quote-unquote, criminals are not put in Sing Sing or Attica like that. Even within the jail itself, they are not separated by how bad their crime was. So everybody is on the same level. Yes. So you could actually have stolen a Milky Way, and the person in your little cell could have been a rapist. Well, it wouldn't matter if both of us were women. No. They have integrated these transgender inmates. And the scary part about it is there has never been a separation of the inmates. No. So when those transgender individuals come in, oh, they could be my cellie. Yes. This is how crazy this is. And this makes sense. This makes sense. They say when you become a state property individual, you don't have a right to consent or any voice at all. Now, the person who wrote this article has been in the prison system. She's a female. She's been in the prison system. Now, we all know that no matter what state you go in, no matter whether it's minimum or maximum security, sex is not allowed. Sex is not allowed between same sex, you know, inmates or with the staff. It's just simply not allowed. So it's like, so why are you giving out condoms? Who would you be giving out condoms to if 90% of your population are women? Yeah. Well, they say back in 2013, California passed the AB 999 in 2013, like I said, and they started requiring all prisons to furnish condoms for inmates no later than 2019. So California, they didn't jump right on this, you know, distribution because they felt that, why should we? You know, we don't have anybody in the women's prison to give a condom to. Well, Governor Gavin Newsom stretched the lines, blurred the lines, crossed the lines when the prisons back in 2021 passed SB 132, also known as the Transgender Respect, Agency, and Dignity Act. And this legalized gender self-identification, allowing for fully intact men to be housed in one of the two, okay, so now it was only one, I'm sorry, one of the two female-only prisons. This is crazy. Wow. So why would I have to prove that I'm, you know, not a he, she, he, whatever you want to call it? What's the criteria? So right now they're saying there are about 40 men in the prison. And that's the way it is. Wow. So they have this outside organization who's trying to fight against this particular practice of integrating because it's not safe. They say that the women in there don't feel safe. And, you know, the thing that kills me about this world, how many people take precautions? Being proactive just ain't the thing to do. Are you waiting for someone to be raped before you now are facing a lawsuit and are forced to go back to the way things used to be? My thing is, what is so difficult in separating if y'all are all transgender people? Then go ahead in a transgender section. What is the big deal? How could you possibly think that not segregating is the way to go? How do you possibly think this is okay? Because your mama ain't sitting up in the prison system. Because your sister or your daughter is not sitting up in the prison system. Because they don't care about the people who have committed crimes. And it's just a free-for-all. Just do with them what you feel you want to do with them. So that's what they're facing in California. So, this is another thing I wanted to talk, because maybe it's Stephanie, but I'm trying to figure out. I'm kind of on the fence on this one, and maybe after we start talking, I might cross over to one side. But right now, I got some questions in my head. Now, there's a woman who had a son who was 7 years old, and somehow or another, I have gone through this article, they never said why the little boy was given to his father. So, back in 2015, this little boy, and I'm trying to see his name, I think his name is Adrian. He was separated from his mother and given to his father. The father and the stepmother beat and tortured this little boy for years before he finally died. And somehow or another, I don't know how they got to this, but they found out that little Adrian had been fed to the pigs by his father. I don't know if you remember this story, because I don't. Well, that was back when I wasn't even trying to listen to nobody's news. So they said that they had gotten pictures of him by the time. This is so weird, because it's like kind of going back and forth. They found him in the tub at one time, malnourished. They had been pretty much starving him. And this treatment was the father and the stepmother. Now, the father was a former bail bondsman. Can you imagine this nonsense? You chasing the criminals. You the one paying for the criminals to come up out of there for the families and the people. And the stepmother, they said, had beaten him and locked him in a shower naked for months. Oh, that's how the recording. There was a video recording that they had been taking as little Adrian was wasted away. And they said that his remains were found in a pigsty outside of the home where the two parents were renting in November of 2015. Now, the cops responded to a domestic violence call, and that's how they ended up, you know, finding the baby in the pigsty. Now, they say years before that, before the little boy died, the Kansas Department of Children and Families received reports of abuse, but hadn't had any contact with the three of them for nearly 4 years before the little boy died. They say because they moved around Missouri and Kansas consistently. So pretty much they're saying they never could catch up with him. So the mother, after the little boy was found dead and eaten, the mother, the natural mother, she filed a lawsuit. And she said that they were negligent in keeping up with her little boy, that there had been reports of the father and the stepmother mistreating him, torturing him, but nobody paid any attention. So the mother, the maternal grandmother, and the adult sister filed this lawsuit. And back a few years ago, they didn't say how much the lawsuit was. Well, they say that she just received $1 million from the state of Kansas to settle this lawsuit that accused child welfare officials of failing to intervene and save the boy from his horrifying fate. Now, the two of them they're serving 25 years to life for their treatment of little Adrian. Father is 53, stepmother is 38. And for those of you who are asking or wondering, father is on our side of the fence, mama is on the other side of the fence. They now have a new law called Adrian's Law, and it addresses requiring child welfare workers to observe any child alleged to be a victim of abuse or neglect in person. Now, let me tell you why Mama really sued. Mama sued because y'all took him from me and left him with the real danger. Now, throughout this whole entire article, they never said why he was taken from the mama in the first place. They don't say how long he was taken from the mother. They don't say if they ever tried to give him back or that she ever tried to get him back. So my question is, should she really have gotten any money? Because if it weren't for you, he wouldn't have been with Dangerous Dad and Stepmom, who looks like straight trailer trash. The both of them, just looking at their pictures, nah. No. No, 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 no. Now, I don't know about y'all. I don't know if she should have gotten anything. I don't know if she should have gotten anything. A settlement? $1 million. So let me put this in another way. I got $1 million for having a baby, being negligent, having a baby taken away from me. Now, my question is, where was maternal grandma and adult sister when they were taking the baby? He was only 7. So it wasn't like they took him 20 years ago. He was only 7. Now, they're saying years. They constantly say years. He was tortured and abused for years. So let's say 2-3 years. So that means the first 4 years, he may have been with you. First 3 years, he may have been with you. But you proved that you were not worthy of taking care of this baby. So he ends up with the father and the stepmama. So let's say, for argument's sake, they took him and you got yourself together. Why didn't you get, with the way these two look, I would have died trying to get little Adrian back. Where was grandmama? Why grandmama didn't take the baby? So grandmama going to help sue when grandma didn't help take? No, something ain't, they missing a whole lot of this story. Because I don't know about anybody else, but after reading this story, I got questions. I got a whole lot of questions. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. This just ain't sounding too good. All right, so let me get one more quick story up in here. This was really, really a very sad story about a set of twin sisters. Oh, my goodness gracious, out in Brooklyn. Now, I'm going to start from the latter part of the story where they say these two twins, they had been down south somewhere. They were raised in Brooklyn, but they had gone down south, spent some time, but they wanted to come back here because this is what they knew. They had spent some time in North Carolina. They were born here in Brooklyn, spent some time here in North Carolina, and they decided that they wanted to come back here because this is what they knew. Simia was working at Walgreens. And she has been working at Walgreens since she graduated high school. And she and her sister, I don't know, maybe this is something somebody else can answer for me. And I know they're 19, but this the climate is not out here for y'all to just be walking these streets. They were at the store getting something to eat. They said about 2 o'clock in the morning when Simia and her twin sister were attacked by a man who was making advances at her. And she told him she didn't want to be bothered. And the owner put him out of the store. He came from a club or a lounge or something. He had been drinking. And he ended up in the store where the girls were. And she said, I don't want to be bothered with you. Leave me alone. And he kicked the guy out of the store. They say he flew off the handle, started kicking on the door, banging on the door. So they called the cops. Well, the two sisters and a cousin were out food. And he ended up stabbing Simia in the chest and neck. And she didn't make it. So now the sisters are no longer sisters. The family is beside themselves in grief. Needless to say, you know, they were away and they wanted to come back. And this is what they met. They said they were very productive young ladies, causing no problems. They say now this particular bodega, this deli where they were attacked, was the same store where a woman was shot to death, execution style, by, they say, her longtime ex-girlfriend 3 years ago. And I think I remember that story. And another incident took place at this same particular store, oh boy, in January, where two people were found shot in the head. Oh my goodness gracious. So this is really, you know, an area where I would be relocating my store. That's all I know. I would not be opening up this store. And I know, you know, you want to say, hey, why he got to move? Well, clearly, this ain't no good stuff here going on here. So I don't know. Let's talk to our due time crew, see what they have to say. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you. I got a little bit of extra. I got early in the morning. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well, just fine.
Good. All righty. We're talking about this crazy news this morning. And if my computer would catch up with me. So you've got two stories here. You've got the story of the condoms being given out in the California, quote-unquote, all-female prison. What do you think?
You're just going to have a free fall. Just have at it. You know, I can't really say that I'm surprised, because I just feel like the more we live, there's lawlessness everywhere. You know, I'm going to go back to Pastor Tim and say, you know, we are literally in our last and evil days, and if you're not girded, you need to get girded, and if you're girded, stay that way. Ugh, just crazy.
You know, you've integrated this prison, and they're not segregated once the integration happens, which makes it extremely unsettling, you know, to those who are there, and I'm sure to those family members who have, you know, their people in there. And my thing is, they're not going to be settled and satisfied until somebody does something, and they're going to have a lawsuit. That doesn't even make any sense to me. How could you bring men, transgender men in and integrate them with women? I don't know.
I'm not surprised, you know, and I had verbalized before from a reading that any opening or opportunity that they can create or make where somebody's, you know, going to have sex, they're going to do it. You know, and now you're giving them condoms. You know, so then the question becomes, would you rather them not have condoms and now you've got, you know, 20 to 30 females that are now pregnant? You know, I don't really know. You know, that's a rough thing as well. You know, so maybe now with this population, you know, getting access, that you're trying to minimize, you know, them trying to, you know, give birth or have babies. But it's just, the whole thing is just, you know, crazy to me. You know, why is there not a separate facility for those who consider themselves trans, you know, every alphabet. I'm not trying to pick at them, but, you know, there's so many different titles and different names for what people choose to be that it's, you know, put them in their own facility, you know, to make it the most safe.
Okay, so you asked a question. Could have been a hypothetical question, but a question nonetheless. Would I rather, not me, Stephanie, but would you rather see them not have condoms and then the population turns up pregnant. Well, that's a problem if anyone has to ask that question. Because first of all, if you think that that's a possibility, and the automatic law is that no one is supposed to be having sex, do I hand out a condom opposed to separating them from the beginning? Because if somebody should become pregnant inside of the prison system, they now all become your problem. Because now you didn't spent the money for condoms. You didn't now spent the money for the care that the women need now to take care of their prenatal visits to a doctor, as well as when the babies are born. So how is that even a consideration? That question is crazy to me. Would I rather? No, don't even integrate them. And when I say integrate them, if you feel like these people can't go in a male prison, okay, that's fine. But then if you put them in the women, then you automatically separate them. Because if you separate them, they sure can't come up pregnant. Even if they did slip and end up letting them have sex, they can't get pregnant. So you got a bigger problem integrating them even without condoms. So if somebody gets pregnant on your watch, to me that's 10 times worse than handing out a condom. Because how do you tell your child, don't have sex, but here's a condom? I'm not giving mine no condom. That ain't never been a practice of mine. I said don't have sex. I ain't helping you. I'm not going to have this thing. Well, since you going to, or just in case you might, here's a condom. No, I'm sorry. That makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. That's why I said they have a practice of being reactive opposed to proactive. No, don't put them together. Plain and simple is that. No, that's crazy. That is absolutely crazy for them to even do this in the first place. Because to me, even if you did think you were a woman or you felt you were born that way, so is it worse to put them in the men's prison? Why you don't put them over there? Because they'll be endangered. So you put them in the women's facility where the women are endangered. No, they're all sick. Sick. Okay, you need to help me understand this.
Well, that was why I mentioned that they need a facility of their own. You know,
yes.
Like you can't get pregnant if all of you have that same choice,
absolutely,
that desire, you know, that this is what you label yourself, then that's
absolutely
the facility that you put, not in the male, not in the female, you find you a building of your own.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But even if they put them in the same facility, that to me, that's fine. Because now you got a whole different house that you have to spend money on. No, put them in, it ain't that many of them. It's not that many. They said there's 40 of them in the prison. How? Separate them. You don't need a whole new building, in my opinion, because that's more money. That's more guards. That's more this. That's more that. Take the same facility and make room for them. That's it. You ain't got no problem separating them. You got a whole building. Make it happen. Plain and simple as that. This is sick. Sick, and more sick. All right. You heard me tell the story of the little boy Adrian, 7 years old, who had been separated from his mom for years, living with the father, the natural father, biological father, and stepmom for years. During these years, little Adrian had been abused. They claimed that they couldn't find them after a while because they moved around from Missouri and Kansas and all of these places. They finally got a hold of them, but it was too late. Mom says her grandma and adult sister are putting this lawsuit out there because of the social services negligence. So they've been awarded $1 million. What's your thought? Does mom deserve $1 million? Does she deserve 5 cents?
I have a whole lot of questions that at this point can't get answered. You know, like, I understand that situations happen, and I've seen situations where, you know, for some reason a child is removed from their parent and you can't seem to get up with a parent that has the child. You know, but prior to that, there was nobody, there wasn't a friend, there wasn't, even if it wasn't grandma or sis or, you know, there was nobody that you could leave your child with before. You know, there are a lot of court cases for that. You know, I've seen grandma, you know, I've seen, you know, great uncle, whoever. There was nobody that could help you prior to that. You know, were you that bad of a mom, dad? Well, obviously, you know, most of the time, in most instances, you'll find that in most cases, the child is always left with mom. So how bad did you have to be for him to be removed from you?
Right.
You know, the other
right.
question, you know, was this child that bad? You know, were you abusing him because you didn't have any tolerance, any patience? You know, we know that sometimes children can test you. Were you beating on him as well? You know, what was being done that he was removed from you in the first place? And then at that point, you know, in the time frame that he was removed, was there nobody that could help you? Best friend, a neighbor, anybody, you know, and you know the relationship between you and the father because it's obviously so volatile that you're not together, and that was the only resolve, you know. I can't even think of what this child might have gone through prior to death, and this is the end result. Now you're awarded money. You know, everybody wants to place the blame. You know, and some of that blame has to go somewhere. Can't always just be the facility. You know, obviously nobody played their role in making sure that Adrian was okay. And now this is the end result.
Yep. Yep. And yep. You know, I was scouring, trying to get these answers. I was like, well, how long was he away from mother? I mean, the fact that he went to his father is not odd, you know, opposed to, let's say, a friend or, you know, a neighbor. If for whatever reason he proved to be a better parent, which I can't see how that even happened if he was abused and they say tortured. So my thing is, what did you look for when you took him from the mama and gave him to the father? What how long did you, you know, check him out? How, you know, what did you do? So it's not that odd that if the dad proves to be a better parent when they remove him from the mother, that they would give him to the father, especially if he's married and can show, you know, that he has something solid to offer the child. But when you talk about the pictures, when you talk about the history, they said for years he was tortured. My thing is, nobody put out any type of alert to try to locate the little boy or his family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me is like, I get the negligence. I get the negligence because this is reading negligence all over the place. But I'm lost as to how mama was able to get anything, because had she been doing her job, they would have never had to take him from her. So, I, again, like you said, a whole lot of answers that we will, questions that we will never get any answers to. Woo! Thank you for joining us this morning. Let's see what Pastor KL has to say. Let's say good morning. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, Lady Tamika. How are you ladies doing today?
Well, thank you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well.
Good, good, and good. We got some questions. So we've got this story of the women in California in the prison, all women's prison, have now been integrated with the transgender women or men, whichever way you say it. And they are now distributing condoms in this all-female, quote-unquote, women's prison. What's your thought?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. One is now the transgender is going to change their mind and they're going to want to be men again. I'm just not understanding why you would think that you need to put in condoms. Now, if you put in condoms, then you already know that something wrong is going to happen. So if you already know something wrong is going to happen, why set yourself up for failure? Listen, I don't care if you're transgender or if you feel a little freakish. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. You know, when you put these two species together, if you put two fish in a tank and one is a boy and one is a girl, they're going to lay some eggs at some point. Whether they found each other attracted or not, something is going to happen. You putting me in jail for no matter how much years, then I have to have some type of extracurricular activities to sustain my mind while I'm in here. So if I'm a man with a female and a female with a man, then listen, let me buy some time.
Yes, yes, and yes. Makes no sense whatsoever. Oh, my goodness. All right, Pastor KL. We got a little Adrian who was tortured, beaten, starved, the whole nine yards by his biological father and stepmom after he was removed from the home of his biological mother. And through the social services neglect, mom has sued and has been awarded $1 million. Should mom get a dime?
No, it seemed like to me everybody neglect or everybody dropped the ball. So here you are, social services, they took it because the mom who couldn't take care of the child put it with someone else who couldn't take care of the child. And now we're paying for the child's death and rewarding the mother, again, the one who couldn't take care of the child. So at some point, if they've been doing this for years, no one's seen this. So the child services never went and did a home visit, obviously. The parent, the mother never got herself back together where she was able to have visitation or the child was able to come to her house. So, and she didn't really care too much about it until the child died. So everybody dropped the ball. And now, so I get paid for my neglect. I get paid for my lackluster, lack love. I get paid for not being a mother, but for giving birth.
Yep. Sounds about right. Sounds about right. I tell you. And now you get, clearly you had no separation anxiety from the child, and now you get to hop around with $1 million for all of your negligence. This is one twisted world. Oh, my goodness. All righty. Well, I got a story that we can talk about, or we can talk about things that men say. I think I'm going to go with the things that men say. So there's a list here. It says guys are sharing the little things that women do that give them, they don't like it. All righty. So you two can let me know how you feel and what you think. These are men that are speaking. They say that it really turns them off when there's no reciprocation of effort. Tamiko, what do you feel about that?
They get turned off. You know, he's calling you, you don't answer the phone, you don't call back. You know, he's doing all of the work. You know, and it seems to him what he receives is you're not really interested. I'm doing all this effort, you're literally doing nothing. You're just sitting there, you know, not returning calls, not, you know. It seems to him he's receiving, okay, you're not interested. So in that instance, he'll just leave you alone.
All righty. Pastor KL, what do you feel about this no reciprocation of efforts?
Yeah, I mean, and I've heard women say, you know, I'm not calling no man. If he want me, he'll call me. Well, baby, I don't want you that much. Because I'm not going to keep on calling you, reaching out to you, playing this cat and mouse game. You know, you want a man just as much as I want a woman. So, I mean, how is it not, you know, equally balanced? In order for me to pursue you, I need to know that there is a potential chance for me to have you. If seemingly every time I call you, you got two-word answers, or when I call you, you're not available because you got stuff to do, then I need to call somebody else who will appreciate my calls. There are some folks who appreciate someone saying, hey, good morning, how are you, just in a text. You know, but when there's crickets behind that, no. Only now my phone is free, but before I used to have to pay for text. I'm not going to waste a good text on you and you don't respond.
All right. Tamika, I'm giving this one to you first. They say that they're turned off with women who only have guy friends because they claim other women are too much drama.
Okay, I'm sorry. Say that again for me. I'm a little confused.
They're turned off. The men said they're turned off by women who say they have only guy friends because they claim that women are too much drama.
I can't answer that legitimately because prior to, you know, any relationship that I've had, well, I can't really say I've only had guy friends. The majority of my friends have been male. And it's because women are dramatic. You know, there's always so many issues that women go along. So, unfortunately, I can't answer that one legitimately.
Okay. Well, Pastor KL, can you answer legitimately?
Yeah, I think sometimes that could be a cop-out, you know, because men know men. You know, so why you think that this is your man friend for this particular reason, we know why he's your friend. So, and even when we convey to you why he's your friend, you don't want to listen. You just think that we're a hater or we're just jealous. We ain't jealous. We know that if we can get enough information from you and your relationship, I can get you out of that relationship.
Okay. The silent treatment, they can't stand. They say it's passive-aggressive, manipulative, and whack. Tamika.
Yeah, drives them crazy. You know, it's like, you know, it's a chill. You know, I'm asking you something, either one-word answers or nothing at all, you know, or the eye roll, you know. Like, he just walked into the room. He didn't even say anything to you, rolling your eyes. You could see, honestly, you can feel that before anything is said. You come in the room, and it's just a totally different temperature. You know, it's ice cold, you know. Hey, how you doing? You know, just answering, you know, you want something for dinner? Yeah, or you might not answer at all. You know, it's like being in a room by yourself, although you have the person there. It's annoying, you know, and it'll tick them off. If, you know, you can only do that for so long before it literally frustrates him and sends him, you know, flying into a, you know, a tantrum or worse.
Okay. The silent treatment, Pastor KL, do you feel it's passive-aggressive, manipulative, and whack?
Well, personally, for me, I'd rather you shut up than just give me one-word answers. You know, I'd rather you just not say nothing. You know, because that the one-word answers, that's the most frustrating because you're trying to build a conversation and now you're just acting crazy. Then just shut up. I won't ask you nothing. I'd rather you be quiet, to be honest with you.
Really? Why is that now?
Because the one-word answers is the frustrating thing. You know, you hungry? No. Da-da-da-da-da, no. Da-da, yes. No, that's not a conversation. So you've already telling me you don't want to talk to me. So just shut up. I'm not going to keep on pushing a conversation with you. Your dialogue is nothing past one word. You're telling me I don't want to talk to you. Okay, shut up.
Okay. They say they don't like the women who think they need to cut down every other female they see. Tamika.
Not only that shows that you feel inferior. A lot of times you throw in shade on someone else because you're not really assured of yourself. You know, we send him to the restaurant, you know, and we send him and he just happens to look. Doesn't necessarily mean that he, you know, it might have been something that caught his attention. She might have been pretty, you know, granted, you know, but you fazzing out. Okay, she thinks she all that, blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's fine, you know, one time, but I mean, like, every time we go anywhere, every time he goes anywhere, you know, you're automatically reinforced with that. 9 times out of 10, what will end up happening is he'll stop listening to you and his head will be turned in the opposite direction because you only have negative things to say.
All right. Pastor KL, she needs to cut down every other female she sees.
Yeah, that's a strong sense of insecurity. You're not secure with who you are. You don't believe he really likes you for you. You think that anybody can take him away from you. Yeah, that's annoying because if I wanted to eat with her, I'd be with her. You know, or someone that looks like her, or someone that sounds like her. You know, after a while, you have to let them know you wasn't the only option. You know, however, you were the one I picked.
Okay. They also list that when they're on a dating profile, she lists everything she wants in a man. But she doesn't say anything about what she's like or what she's bringing to the table, Tamika.
This is kind of like, you know, when you apply for employment, although in actuality we're talking about relationships. You got to have some form of work, you know, what you bring to the table, what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do. You know, you've got this big, huge, long list of he's got to have this, he's got to that, he's got to have a car, he's got to have this, got to that. You know, and then you're sitting at home with your mama, and you have no license, you have no access to a car, you can't purchase a car. You know, you don't even have a job. You know, but you want this big, you got this big, huge, long profile, a Rolodex of what it is that he should bring to the table. You know, you should be working on you so that when he does come, whomever he may be, that you have something worthy that says, okay, I got this, I got that. Not that you bring that, you know, in a big, you know, file cabinet on your first date, but you should have something that you can provide that says, hey, I got something worth. You know your worth. And keep doing better so that you can have something to bring to the table. Not just going to sit on E and wait till he gets there to fill you up. That's not how that works.
Okay. Pastor KL, she's got this dating profile with this long list of qualities she's looking for, but she doesn't say anything about who she really is or what she's like.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking for Superman, but you still Wimpy from Popeye. I'll gladly pay you $2, you know, say tomorrow for a hamburger today, which means that I don't have nothing to offer you right now. But if you stick by my side, you'll get your $2 later. But just keep on feeding me, keep on imparting me, keep on being my superhero. But I really don't have nothing. And then I get upset when you're not the Superman that I wanted. But yet you're the Wimpy. Yeah, that's a problem.
Okay. All right, we're going to shift gears here a little bit. We got a little more time. We're going to shift gears here. And I want to talk about this story that I came across, and I want to see what you two think. There's a story of an elderly man in the state of Washington who has been poisoned with fentanyl. And they say he was poisoned by a pair, well, not a pair really, but a woman who he gained trust through a dating app. Now, we talk about this quite often. Now, this 32-year-old and this 47-year-old woman. So the guy is 32, the woman is 47. So the woman is the one who enticed the man on the internet. And now they tried to, they say, defraud him and unfortunately tried to murder him. Now, she gained the trust and invited herself over after a week of dating. On, you know, they call this dating. I don't understand this, but they call it dating. So they decided to meet in person, which she initiated. And when she got there to his house, somehow or another, she ended up introducing a guy she brought with him, with her. Now, they said that the two of them tried to move in on him, meaning tried to move into his house when they got there, and he was having a hard time adjusting to this. And they said that, so they kind of hung around for a while, and they ended up convincing him to watch a movie, and he ended up falling asleep. Well, when he woke up, he said his wallet, cell phone, house keys, car keys, driver's license, and Social Security card was missing. And come to find out, excuse me, of course, they had taken all of his stuff and said that somehow or another they tried to create some kind of an alibi with his phone. I don't know how that works. But later on, when they returned, they somehow ended up injecting him with fentanyl. Now, I don't know how he ended up getting to the hospital. They don't say all of that. But he ended up being injected with fentanyl that they administered to him in his neck. And the reason why we're talking about this is because Mr. Curtis Engelland is 74 years old. Now, Grandpa has a dating app profile. Oh, is this safe? What are we doing here? What are we doing here with our elderly now? You can't go to a senior center. You can't, you know, go to some event that they're having for the elderly people. But we are now on a dating app. Tamika, what are we talking about here?
We have often talked about, you know, desperation, loneliness, you know, and that is a hard thing. But I think because of the predators out there, I think at that age you really shouldn't be looking at an app, you know. And I've always said that regardless of your age, you have to be cautious if you're going to use an app, you know. And the time frame for this female coming into your home is crazy. You know, if this is what you're going to do, you don't let somebody come into your home. You know, this is how you got taken advantage of. You allow her to come into your home, you know, and, you know, then you find yourself at this point, you know. And so that's just, it's just crazy, you know, that would happen. We've often talked about dating and finding the predator, and he definitely found the predator.
Wow. Wow. And again, this is a week after they, quote-unquote, met on a dating app. And I guess maybe he figured he didn't have a whole lot of time. Pastor KL, what are we talking about here? Grandpa is on the dating app.
You know, men and women are different as they age. You know, women age gracefully, if you will. When men age, their pride and their manhood is almost like it stunts its growth. So they want now to look for something younger, just for their mojo, so they can say I still got it. But their wits is not as strong as they were when they were a player. So now they being played thinking that they've gotten something younger because of who they are. You know what I mean? So it gets a little cloudy, you know, as you get up in age. And you know, it's a depressing situation. You know, it's a lonely situation for a man who, especially when he loses, you know what I'm saying, his player card. You know, now he has to prove that he still got it. And sometimes, you know, it's almost like, you know, electronics. You know, you're not into the apps, and you have not grown with the time. You're still stuck. So the fish tank shoes, you still think that's saying something. So they catch you. They get me, you know, because they know what era that you're in, and they know they can get you.
Oh, boy. You know, you're looking at this situation here, and he no longer has his life. So he's at this time and stage of his life where he feels like he's got to, you know, see if his player card still works. And, you know, you meet these people out here who are really, you know, using you for prey. And he ended up dying subsequently. And this here, I don't even know, you know, what to say to a person who feels like you still got to prove yourself. You know, that's what they call the cougars, you know, the women who are out here trying to, you know, she hanging out at the club trying to get her a young man. And, you know, because there's a concern, a worry that you don't have it anymore. What does that even mean to even a child of God? I don't know. Tamika, you know, what should we be thinking about as we're getting older and we are not married, or, you know, maybe we lost, you know, our spouse or something like that? What should we be doing?
Seeking God, you know, that is crucial to anything, you know, not just relationships. You know, God, you know, help me in that phase, whatever it is that I'm feeling. You know me, you created me, you know all about me. You know, should I even be engaging in a relationship? You know, what should I be doing? To govern me, govern my mind, govern my emotions, you know, because a lot of times some of that is external. You know, we're always reinforced about relationships and things that we look at, you know, books that we read. You know, I remember a relative of mine, she just loved Harlequin romances. Those were the love books, you know, and
right.
After a while she considered, she was getting older, you know, and that was one of the things that she talked about all the time. You know, what are we feeding our mind? What are we feeding our heart? What are we feeding our soul? What are we looking at? What are we having our access to? You know, it is crucial that, you know, we let God govern those things in those areas where we weaken, because a lot of times when we're weak in it, that's the first place that the enemy, you know, loves to go to. Oh, you're weak there. Let me stick a pin right there, you know, and that's a, you know, a rough place. And we have to recognize and acknowledge, hey, this is an area of weakness. God, help me in my weakness so that I don't open up my home after a week to a total stranger and then therefore jeopardize my life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, amen, amen. Pastor KL, you know, you know, in your 70s now, And, you know, if you should now find yourself needing a companion, you know, maybe your wife has, you know, passed away and now, you know, you feel like, hey, I don't want to be by myself anymore. What do you suggest those of us who are in this Christian community do?
Well, first of all, I mean, Tamika hit it on the head. You know, we need to consult God. But the first thing we need to consult God about is healing. You know, you have to heal from whatever happened, whether it was a divorce, whether it was, you know, you've lost someone, you know, due to death. You know, you have to heal from that. And a lot of times, you know, we as people just don't want to be by ourselves. And we think we can heal with someone. But that's very, very, very difficult. You know, you got to be okay by yourself in order to be okay with somebody else. And once you find that you're okay by yourself, then you'll be a little bit more conscious on who you want to choose to be with. Because when you're lonely and when you're depressed, you don't care really who's with you. You just want the company. You just don't want to be by yourself. And then you'll pick and choose anybody just to have a vessel there with you. But when you're healed and when you decide, or when God decides it's time for you to move on, then he'll bring the right person and you'll be able to see the right person. Right now, when you're going through and you're not healed, you don't see very well. You know, because it's all emotion and it's all feelings, and I just feel like I want to be with somebody, but I don't feel like I want to be with the right person. It could be anybody. As long as you say good morning to me, I might like you. So first of all, before we do anything else, we need to heal ourselves.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, boy. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, the two of you, for your contribution and your words of guidance and wisdom in this conversation today. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. It's the top of the hour on a Monday morning, and we only do one thing at that time. Let's say good morning to Shantees. Good morning, Shantees.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I'm okay. What you got for us today?
Today I have the switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly feet. And our switch tip 182 is actually inspired by the stories you brought up this morning, Pastor Steph, which is be proactive. Now, being proactive means making things happen instead of waiting for them to happen to you, or creating or controlling a situation by causing something to happen rather than responding to it after it has happened. And I know a lot of the times what got me in trouble in the past, 98% of the time, was I'd be able to see something coming, something happening. I'd be able to see someone dumbing out or see something or hear something stupid being said before it was actually said, and I would then act on what is going to happen, and now everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. And then 10 minutes later when it happens, it's like, oh, that's what she was talking about. And I'm sitting there like, right, Slobo, this is exactly what I was talking about. But I didn't always handle it properly because I did not have a lot of gentleness back then. But when you think about being proactive, active means to do something, pro means before. So making sure you do something before and when you are blessed to be a child of God. And I've been really noticing this and really saying this to people a lot more the past few weeks. You know, God is making sure that those of us who understand what it means to belong to him and are really, really striving to stick with him day in and day out, we are seeing things a lot more in the spiritual and a lot less in the natural. So this goes back to one of the earlier switch tips God gave us would stop trying to speak their language, because we're going to be speaking a lot about what we see spiritually And because people are choosing to still see things in the world, they're choosing to be a little more challenged. They're not seeing things the way we're seeing it, so therefore they're not understanding the things that we are saying. When you are in Jesus and you are learning what it means to truly abide in him, you understand that you have to now do things beforehand to protect yourself. And after hearing this very unfortunate situation with the baby, you know, with children, they are just subjected to what the parents decide to do, what the parents actually act on, so on and so forth. There's very, very, very little control these babies have with their own lives. So we have to make sure that we learn the importance of acting on things before it happens to us, because you do not have to be a biological parent to affect a child. And to hear what happened, no one, not only wasn't anyone active outside of actively hurting this baby, but no one was being active in making sure that they were doing their part. There's no way I can hear or we couldn't find them. Y'all have found people who have escaped from prison and everything, but you couldn't find the baby. No one was being proactive, and now we're hearing the end result. The Proverbs 22:3 in the Amplified Version reads, "A prudent and farsighted person sees the evil of sin and hides himself from it. But the naive continue on and are punished by suffering the consequences of sin." And the definition of prudent is acting with or showing care and thought for the future. You learn to care about, and we understand, you know, God says to focus on the right now, because the right now has its own concerns, and let God handle tomorrow. Absolutely. At the same time, we do have to also understand that my right now will affect my tomorrow. So if I do not make sure that I'm already acting on things that I know can happen tomorrow, to making sure that my right now is good, if I don't do that, then I'm going to be in some trouble. Not only will I be in trouble, but any and everyone who's attached to me will be in trouble. Just think about those who God has sent me to minister to. We are now responsible for our lives and our actions, our decisions, not only for ourselves, but for them. If I'm not making healthy decisions for myself and how my day-to-day goes, how am I going to be effective for those God is sending me to serve by ministering to them? I now have to also be proactive for them. I have to now show care and thought for their future. If I know at any moment, God, I don't know why this is coming up in my head right now, well, last night, I don't know, out of nowhere, I was thinking on some things and drinking came to mind, and I started reading up on alcohol and, you know, how there's so many different sayings and logics that are kind of trying to be thrown out in order to justify drinking. And it's like, okay, if I decide to have a glass of wine, a beer, we ain't talking about the hard liquor yet, or if you want to take a few shots of Henny, Patron, whatever, how am I now preparing myself for the very near future? I know at any moment God is going to use me to spread the good news to someone, to minister to someone, to give my testimony. My testimony is not effective the way it needs to be. It is not all that convincing if you can now smell alcohol on my breath, if there's a slur in my speech, if I'm not 100% on point with the comeback, because you got to be prepared now. The logic that is going on in this world, you have to be on point with the word of God to now smash all of the logic that is going on in these streets. So we have to make sure we're making the conscious decision and making the switch of just reacting, waiting for things to happen, and then trying to react and making sure we're more like Jesus and acting on things before they happen. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shanti. Thank you for your contribution, and we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. All right, let's get this benediction. "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depths, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans 8, 38 and 39. Ooh, you know, when we read this news each day, we really get to see the mentality of this world. You know, as you survey the news and, you know, you have the boy who's tortured and starved and beaten and, you know, the neglectful parent gets $1 million. You know, when you think about the other stories that we talked about, you know, when we look at the two young ladies who just wanted to live, you know, what they thought was living, and to come back for one to meet her demise. When we talk about the condoms that are given out in an supposed all women's facility, you know, it goes to show you, you know, whether you're innocent and you end up meeting a horrific fate, such as the twin girls or the little boy, or, you know, whether you have this twisted government who's supposed to be governing, you know, the nation, who's simply not protecting. What is your function? You know, I can't think of this proactive versus reactive enough today, just based on the stories we read, the stories we discussed. If you don't see the need for Christ in your life, or as God has really impress it upon me to speak to those of us who call ourselves His, if you don't see the urging and the importance of strengthening your relationship with God, then I don't think you'll ever see it. I don't think it'll ever be more clear. You really have to get to a point where you have to make a concerted effort to make this right. You've got to make a concerted effort to strengthen that relationship with the Lord, because I just can't get past even the righteous shall scarcely make it in. Do you have to be as radical as Pastor Steph? Maybe not. Because, you know, when you think of radical, you think of loud, you think of the strength, you think of, and I don't mean strong as, you know, I'm just strong and you're weak. What I'm saying is just the way it's issued. That's what I mean when I say strength. Your delivery, let's put it like that. The delivery. When I say, you know, God snatches me in my collar, and He ain't got to snatch me in my collar every day, but when He snatches me in my collar for one thing, I make application across the board. You don't have to be to the degree where I am, and I don't have to be to the degree of someone else, but surely there is a minimum here. We don't have time to be over in the corner, afraid, weeping, scared, and trembling over things, being indecisive. The enemy is using this as a huge distraction. He's using it as a way to move you further away from God. If we say that God is our everything, that Jesus is our Savior, then we have got to act like he is. And you have to become fearless. Yes, I'm sorry. You don't have to, again, you don't have to be the wrestler, but you do need to become fearless. And you do have to become like a child. A child, they're just fearless. They, unfortunately, bad, you know, in a sense, bad. They'll be the ones who, you know, they're subway surfing and they're, you know, doing the elevator thing, and they'll take risks because they don't ultimately understand what, you know, what their fate could be, you know. But we, on the other hand, we walk around trembling. We walk around fearful. We walk around, you know, where, like, we don't have a Savior. And I think that's what gives me my courage. Because if I read it in the scripture and I know it's right and I know it's there, then I have to take a leap. I've always been fearless. I have never really been, you know, when I go back in the recesses of my memory, in my mind, I think about, like, I was always one to take a chance. What's the worst that could happen? You fail. It don't work. It doesn't work, rather. Then you get up and do something else. And that's just the way I've always been wired. And I always say God uses who you are to his glory. So that's one of the reasons why I don't have a problem, you know, telling people, well, listen, if you say you got God, then move on it. Act like it. Why are you over there in the corner? You know, the people need to know. Because we are in a dying world. That's why I say, just look at the news. We're in a dying world. If God, if the world is dying and the people of God are on the vine dying, then where are the people going to get help who are dying if God can't use his people to save the world? Because that's what we're here to do. It says, go out and make disciples. We can't do this if we are not out there. We can't do this if we're afraid to speak to people. I don't know what to say. Why not? The Bible is full of things to say. If you have a relationship with the Lord, then you know what to say. If it doesn't, you know, hit, then work on it. Stand in the mirror. Go before the Lord. Ask him to give you the words. Because at the end of the day, none of the words that I use are my words. I don't have that type of ability. But I have to let the Spirit of the Lord give me the words to say. I have to let the Spirit of the Lord use me and give me the courage and the strength to push forward. And it works, y'all. It works. It works. Whenever I'm asked to speak, my biggest thing is, how do I get started? It's like, how do you get started? Because you've got to grab people from the beginning. You can't really build no momentum, man, because you lose people real quick. Because everybody's there, they mind on 50 million things, and you got to be able to start off. This is in my brain. You got to be able to start off and nail it. But I wouldn't have a clue if I didn't rely on the Spirit of the Lord. And immediately before I get up in front of people, I'm like, all right, God, this is you and I. You take the lead. I'll follow. Yeah, that's how I go in front of people. Whether I'm teaching the lesson on Sabbath, whether I'm teaching a lesson on the phone and I'm doing a Bible study, the Spirit of the Lord is the one that is really in the forefront. And I can't encourage you enough to let it do its job. Let it help you make those decisions. Let it help you, you know, choose the right thing to do. Let it help you, you know, let it help you stop from doing some of the things that you have no business doing. Let it help you. Let it help you. Let it help you. I really can't stress it enough to let it help you, because I can't stress it enough to you that we're going to end up just like these people we read about easily. We're going to be the homeless. We're going to be the hungry. We're going to be the ones in jail. We're going to be the ones who are in accidents because we're not paying attention. We're going to be victims. If we don't let the Spirit of the Lord dictate how we move, we will become the news. And I don't know about you, I refuse to become the news unless it's something positive. I done been through a little too much. God has brought me through too much for me to become the news, unless it's something where people are happy about. No, the enemy can't have me. And I don't think we understand how often the enemy has you in his grips. I don't think we pay attention to that. It's real. You know, Christian people get real indignant if you were to tell them that they ain't Christ-like, because they immediately start thinking that you want them to be like you. I've heard other people say it, you know, I tried to talk to so-and-so, and first thing they said, well, I'm not you. We're not talking to you to be like us, but we're talking to you to be like Christ. And again, I keep thinking, my grandmother used to always say, God don't want no cows in his kingdom. She used to always say, he don't want no bimbos in his kingdom. I remember those things like yesterday that she used to say, just little things she used to say. And the more I get to know the Lord, the more I believe and understand what she's talking about. You can't be shaking in your boots, because while you're shivering, there's something you're not doing. You know, fear will paralyze you. And when you're paralyzed, you can't move. God gets no glory out of your paralyzed state. So it doesn't matter to me whether I hurt your feelings or not, because I'd rather hurt your feelings and hopefully stimulate you to move than to look at you or know that you're out there doing it and say nothing and help you think that this is fine. No, this is not fine. God needs movement. God needs courage. God needs for you to get out here and be better than these news stories. And if we don't move, you don't become any better than the stories we're reading. These are not stories we're making up. These are not fictional things. This stuff is real. And if you think that you can't become this, if you don't take a stand, then you better think again. God needs you to move. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please do not miss this opportunity to take Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow. God spares. Where's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day? Until then, I love you.